If you ask this question and try to find an answer, you will say, it must be happening, but it cannot happen in time. Before the time arises, there is no time. The question when arises is true only of time, which was not yet born. Therefore the question when does time arise, has that question any meaning? It has a meaning, and yet it has no meaning. You will see at once that it has no meaning because the time itself did not exist at that time. Therefore the question when does not arise. Yet it has a beginning in that timelessness. It must therefore arise at a certain time. Now that which arises and which cannot arise, we both of them, you have to say, is contradiction in terms, untranslatable into intellectual terms.
So in other words, can we say that time arises when we try to intellectualize an event?
Therefore you can say that time is a kind of a duration. It is such an eternal duration which does not at all arise any time. But which has its origin, again I'm using the term origin, which is a time meaning, but here there is no time meaning. You have to imagine that when I use the word origin, it has no meaning of time, which has an origin in the timeless. So you might say a timeless eternity, which you call duration, a timeless duration, arises from timelessness, which has no relationship with time. Now, I am obliged to make all these statements necessarily, and you can see immediately that you have got to make this kind of a statement and try to understand that although there are intellectually contradictory statements, this is exactly what we see. And intellectually you can't even write. The moment you write, you fall into contradiction. But such is the original truth of the reality, and which you are obliged to posit. That is why it is said the reality is ascharya. It is a wonder. The reality is such that it is really adbhutam. It is truly wonderful. Take a simple example of clay and the forms of the clay. This is one of the easiest examples that is given by Vedanta. You take clay and the forms of the clay. Now when the forms are broken, can you find any form in that clay? But they must all be there, because they can come out of it. Now they must be there means there must be eternal there. And yet they are not there. Even when they come out or they do not come out, they are there still. Anytime they can come out, you can anytime make any form. So they are eternally present, eternally not present. So when you try to describe one state of consciousness into another, you fall into contradiction. Therefore, what is advised is that you try to see, don't try to describe. Therefore, it is called indefinable. The moment you try to describe it, you will fall into intellectual terms which are untranslatable. So, it is advised that you try to see what is being said, and don't look at the intellectual terms which you are using. Because the moment you use the intellectual terms, you try to hang on them, and then try to see if this is so, then this is not so. If this is so, then that is not so. But really speaking, all the three coexist. The timeless, to which time has no reference. Timeless duration, in which present, past and future all are obliterated. It is one single moment, one ever-new moment, all containing ever-new moment. And there is a succession of moments. All the three coexist. It depends now upon the consciousness in which you want to see. It is reality is of such a nature that this is so.
And this is also this can also be put as non-dualism.
Precisely. It is only your consciousness which goes on playing with division. But it's not really divided.
The substance is the same.
Substance is the same.
Clay is the best example, I think.
Pardon?
Clay or gold?
Yes, absolutely the best. That's why the Vedanta Upanishad has given that very example.
That is the best one.
That's so right. It's the best example. The ether is another example which the Vedanta has given. These are the most approximate.
Very approximate.
Even that is not accurate, because even clay, whatever clay you have, has some form immediately before you.
Can you explain us the example of ether?
Ether is supposed to be, you take a pot, there is ether inside, there is outside, everywhere, all equal. Yes. He also gives that example, quite true. Anyway, this is a paragraph which you need to read 10 times, 15 times, 20 times. If you don't understand, don't worry about it, because Sri Aurobindo himself says, intellectually untranslatable. But something that you accurately see. It doesn't mean therefore it's all confusion, not at all. Because sometimes we tend to feel that if it is intellectually untranslatable, therefore it's a confusion. Not at all. Therefore Sri Aurobindo, which we intellectually accurately see. It's a perception which is accurate. But when you try to describe it, the words that we use, we are obliged to use those words because there is no other language. If you could invent a language in which the timeless eternity, timeless duration and succession of timeless movement are all described together, if such a language exists, then you can describe it. Otherwise, the moment you describe it our present language, you fall into contradiction. But which you accurately see. The pure reason must really see that there must be behind succession of moments a duration. And behind the duration, there must be a reality which is timeless. That's why in my talk, I first of all established this point, that succession of moments must have behind them a duration, in which present, past and future are one. And behind the duration, there must be a timeless, which itself is not extended. Duration is extension. It must have come out of something. That is the real reality. The pure existence, which itself is not extended, but capable of extension. Without being extension, it is capable of extension. Now, intellectually, it seems to be self-contradictory. That which is not itself extension, capable of extension. And even with extension, it is not extended. Even when extended, it remains still unextended. Such is the nature of reality.
Understood well, then the
bias
goes away.
Yes, of course, certainly.
And, the attachment in the present.
Yes, also, quite true. You are right, absolutely.
So much.
That's why you should live in that state of all the three times, we might say. Succession of moments, duration in which there is no succession, and the timeless in which there is no reference to time. I think we can stop here today.